Okay, my name is Dr. Peggy O'Brien. I'm the Director of Education at the Folger Shakespeare Library, and I'm one of the pair of people who designed all these new exhibitions. And I'm a huge, longtime DC resident, huge fan of WTOP. Huge fan of Jason Fraley, just saying.
There you go. All right. Thank you. And give him a raise, right? No. Just kidding.
Jason said that. I didn't.
Yeah. What are we leaning on right here?
We're leaning on a printing press that is that was made specifically for the Folger, and it was made according to directions that were included in the first printing manual that was printed in English. It's a book that is in the Folger collection. It was printed in 1683, and a man named Alan May in England took those directions in the book that we had and created this press for us so that people could get a sense of how Shakespeare's plays were printed and other kinds of things that were printed around that time. It's a working press, and people, when they come to visit the Folger, as we reopen, you will be able to see this press working from time to time. And it also gives you an idea of how these things were printed, how these first folios were printed. We also, even when this press is not working, we have a printing with light sort of station over here where visitors who come can set their own type. Cool. Just like compositors did in a printing house during Shakespeare's time.
I love it. See, we're both members of the press, just different press. and how does this what do you know about these actual folios?
What do I know about these?
Yes, like these are like first edition pretty much.
Yeah, okay, so here's the deal about the first folios. Shakespeare wrote 38 plays, mm-hmm. and during his lifetime only 18 of those plays were printed, and they were printed in little paperback books. Actually, we have one of these in a case if you want to see that later.
Sure.
They were called quartos. They were in little paperback books. But 18 of Shakespeare's plays weren't printed at all. And so Shakespeare died in 1616. 7 years after he died, in 1623, two guys in his acting company, two actors, thought they should print all of his plays in one book so that the ones that hadn't been printed wouldn't get lost and so that the other 18 would be preserved in a more, they would be preserved in a way, they'd be preserved they'd be preserved in a way that befitted them.
Perfect.
And so two guys in his acting company, John Hemmings and Henry Condell, are the people that put together the first folio. And so these books were printed in 1623, and the Folger has 82 copies of the first folio.
And that's what's back here?
Yes, that's what's back here in its own case. These books were collected by Emily and Henry Folger, who put the whole Folger collection together. And they collected 82 copies of the same book because, actually, they're the same book, but they're not the same. Every single one of these is different, partly in some cases because of how they were printed and mistakes that were made in the printing houses, partly because people wrote in them. We have a first folio where kids doodled in them.
Oh, well, okay.
So every one of these is different, and the Folgers thought, people will be really interested in the fact that these are all different.
And what all is in here? I see the Winner's Tale.
Oh, yes, all the stuff you had to read in high school and beyond.
So just come here.
So we have high school kids come here all the time.
And they doodle as well.
No, they don't. Not when we're teaching
them.
Not
allowed the doodling anymore.
No, we work with teachers all over the country.
Nice.
So all of Shakespeare's plays, 37 plays, were printed in the, I got to make sure I'm telling you the right thing, Jason,
but
37 plays were printed in the first folio. So, and there's a page that we can't get to because we can't, but there's a table of contents. It's called the catalog.
Okay.
This is the first time that anybody divided the plays up into comedies, histories, and tragedies.
Oh, nice.
These two actors did. And because two actors put these together who performed with Shakespeare and who performed a lot of Shakespeare's plays, we think these, and because we have no manuscripts of any plays, these are pretty close to the real thing.
That's awesome. Now, you said there was something else you wanted to show me? You said we should go
A quarto.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
the 18 plays that were printed in little paperback books. Yeah, so this is the first printed copy of Romeo and Juliet. And it was printed in 1597. And if you look...
Very first copy.
Very first copy that was printed. Now, in that time, books were only printed if the plays had already been on stage and they were a big hit. And so this tells us, the fact that Romeo and Juliet was printed, that it was a big hit. And it says, it's an excellent conceited tragedy of Romeo and Juliet, as it hath been often with great applause played publicly by the Right Honorable Lord Hunsdon and his servants, and it was printed in 1597.
Wow.
Another quarto, a second quarto, of Romeo and Juliet was printed 2 years later in 1599, and the Juliet in that quarto is very different than the Juliet. I mean, the quartos are different.
Really?
And so the Juliet in the 1597 quarto is a different kind of girl.
How so?
Well, there's a scene in Romeo and Juliet where Friar Lawrence, Romeo and Juliet have already figured out how they're going to get married, right? And Friar Lawrence and the nurse are helping them, sometimes not so much help, actually. Yeah. And so Friar Lawrence and Romeo are waiting in Friar Lawrence's cell for Juliet to come so they can get married, right? Friar Lawrence is going to marry them. And in the 1597 quarto,
All right, it's all right. I'll edit it.
Yeah, in the 1599 quarto, the second quarto I've been talking about, Juliet comes in and she is very, she has her, you know, she's very polite. The first thing she does is greet Friar Lawrence. She says, "Good evening to my ghostly confessor." And she, you know, she's clearly interested in getting married, but she's very polite. It seems like a regular kind of scene. In the quarto 2 years earlier, in the 1597 quarto, she comes in, it says Juliet's, the stage direction is Juliet enters somewhat fast and embraceth Romeo.
Whoa. A little more forward.
Totally. Juliet is like hot to trot in this whole scene. And we do not know why those are different. There are differences in lots of plays, quarto to quarto, and we really don't know why.
Wow, that's fascinating.
We don't know why definitively. There are lots of different... scholars have lots of different ideas about why they're different.
Theories, yeah.
Yeah, but this is something that is really interesting, I think.
That's awesome. You're giving me gold.
Good.
Cool.
Good, good.
Thank you. Any other specific things I should film? I mean, I have tons of stuff.
There's a D.C. Do you know the story about the D.C., the all-black production of Hamlet at Howard University?
Let's do it.
In 1951... Owen Dodson, who was then the head of the Howard Players at Howard University, wanted to put on what he felt was a groundbreaking production, and that would be an all-black Hamlet. And he felt it would be the first all-black Hamlet that had ever been produced. I think what has been learned later is it might not have been, but it was groundbreaking even so, because it's a real DC story, I think. So he wanted to get actors, some professional actors, to play the leads and then have the rest of the parts be played by Howard University students. So the man who played Hamlet, he cast to play Hamlet, was a man named Earl Hyman, and we have, this is Earl Hyman's bust right over here, and this is a bust of him as he played Othello. Earl Hyman played a lot of Shakespeare. He did a lot of television. He was on The Cosby Show. He played Mr. Huxtable. And so he's a name that was familiar, but he did a lot of Shakespeare. He was a young actor in his early 20s, but a professional actor, and Owen Dodson at Howard cast him to be Hamlet. He also cast professional actors to play Gertrude and Ophelia, and also Polonius, and the rest were Howard students. When they were in rehearsal for this all-black Hamlet, John Gielgud, who was a very famous English actor, was in Washington, D.C., touring in a production of another play, not a Shakespeare play, at the National Theater. And so Owen Dodson reached out to him and said, you have played Hamlet, you have directed Hamlet, could you talk to us a bit about our production of Hamlet? And John Gielgud said, I would be happy to. Come and have dinner at my hotel. It was 1951, it was in Washington, D.C., and Owen Dodson and Earl Hyman, they were the two that were going to go to dinner, both African-American, could not have dinner with John Gielgud at his hotel in Washington, D.C. in 1951. And so they ended up meeting John Gielgud at the lunch counter at the bus station in D.C., the wow. Greyhound bus station,
wow.
which is downtown.
Wow.
And so they talked then, and the relationship between Owen Dotson and John Gielgud and Earl Hyman continued through the play and past the play.
Wow.
But it's a real, and so the what we have here on display are reviews of this production. One was in the New York Times.
Wow.
When was a college production then reviewed by the New York Times?
Yeah.
It was reviewed by Richard Coe.
Well, this says Washington Post.
It shouldn't say Washington Post.
It's a drama, up there in the actual article. At the top, Richard Coe, Washington Post.
Yes, but it was published in the New York Times.
Oh, so it was like reprinted or something.
Yeah,
it was
published in the New York Times. And
like a syndicated column.
That's right.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
Then this was in the Washington Evening Star.
There
are two very different reviews. The tone of them is very different.
So that's Evening Star, and that's New York Times. Repurposed probably for the Washington Post.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us check on that for
We'll check on that, yeah.
But I love that story.
Yeah, it's fantastic.